Yeah, I think you may be correct.
Okay. I'd like to discuss a little bit, to put us a little bit more in the mindset of where we're holding during these days, during this Manavelo. A little bit of Torah, which I heard actually from both sides of the Atlantic. I heard it from Rav Moshe Weinberger, and I also saw it written from Rav Lef, from Moshav Matisyahu, formerly from Miami Beach. Long time ago from Miami Beach. A beautiful idea, which I think, though a little bit at the beginning, it's a little bit technical, I think the payoff at the end is great. A lot of implications for our Avodas Hashem, particularly in these days of Elul and upcoming Chodesh Tishrei. We know that Elul is Rosh Tevis for many things. For example, I'm sure most famously, you guys are aware that Elul is Ani Ledodi, Vedodi Li. I am for my beloved, and my beloved is for me. An expression of love for our Kadosh Baruch Hu. But there is another acronym, which is Elul, which is almost unknown to most people on the street. If you stop them and say, what does Elul stand for? A lot of people will be able to identify Ani Ledodi Vedodi Li, but very few will be able to identify this one. The Pasuk in Sefer Shmos, in Parashat Mishpatim, says the following. Makei ish vameis, mos yumas. If you slay a person, if you hit him and he dies, then obviously you are going to be put to death. Mos yumas. But there is also, sometimes you may do something b'shogeg. That's only if you kill a person with intent, on purpose, b'mezid. But sometimes you may do it b'shogeg. Ve'asher lo tzada, if a person is not tzad, if a person is not hunting, if it's not a premeditated murder, but rather ve'aloim ina le'yado, rather it came about, God caused it to happen, shogeg. The classic case is you walk into a forest and you're holding an axe. This is the case that's brought in Sefer Devarim. You're holding an axe, and as you're about to chop the tree, what happens? The head of the axe falls off and it finds the neck of your friend, or not your friend for that matter, but an acquaintance, or a total stranger. If that should happen, you were shogeg, you didn't know. You didn't anticipate that should happen. That's an accident. V'samti lecha makom asher yanus shama. I will give you a place. I will appoint a place, and there you may flee. Right? If you kill on purpose, you are executed. But if you kill b'shogeg, you go to a place called an ir miklat, and in the ir miklat, you are protected. Any of their relatives of the deceased want to get back at you and want to avenge the name of their brother or son or whatever it may be of their relative, they can't touch you in the Ir Miklat. You go to the Ir Miklat and you spend a chunk of time there, right? Depending on... It fluctuates. You get out of the Ir Miklat when the Kohen Gadol dies. And you stay there until the Kohen Gadol dies, and then you are free. That's a halacha which I think most people are familiar with. It's called Horeg B'Shgaga, and the halacha of Ir Miklat, a city of refuge. Miklat, we have it over here in Leiva Torah. It literally means a refuge, etc. If you look at the Pasuk has in it four words in succession. Asher lo tzada ve'aloim ina le'yado v'samti lecha makom asher yanus shama. Ina leyado v'samti lecha. Aleph, the first letter, ina is aleph. Leyado lamed v'samti vav lecha lamed elul. In the middle of the pasuk of Ir Miklat, suddenly Rashi Tevis Elul come back. Ina leyado v'samti lecha. So yeah, I understand Rosh Chodesh Elul, Ani Ledodi Vedodi Li. It's beautiful, it's a perfect match. It's talking about our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and developing. We go towards our beloved comes towards us. It's beautiful. what does Nir Miklat have to do with Chodesh Elul? Ina leyada v'samti lecha. Forget about those words. But in the parsha of Nir Miklat, suddenly Rosh Chodesh Elul, Chazal tell us, Elul is a Nir Miklat. What does that mean? Seems strange. Puzzling. So we're going to endeavor for the next few minutes. Normally we'll try to make this sikhot not last more than, you know, more than it's bearable. I don't want to put a specific time, but we'll try to, in the next few minutes, try to understand the sugya of a Nir Miklat. This is the part that's a little bit technical, but I'll do it slowly. And then afterwards, an application to our daily lives, and specifically in this time of Elul. The Gra, and it's already, you find the echoes of this in the Rishonim, or traces in this in the Rishonim before the Gra said it. But he points out, you can find traces of this in the Rambam, that there's really two types of accidental killing. Right? There's one type of accidental killing where it's Asher Yavo Yisrael Bayar. You come into a forest and there you are and you accidentally kill your friend. It's not a total freak accident, as you would say. There is some sort of level of culpability there. You know, perhaps that you adjusted the axe before you started, or there's a level of culpability there. That's one type of shogeg. Then there's another type of shogeg. It's mamish, a total freak accident. You just, but you know, you're walking on the street and suddenly the movers drop the piano, whatever it is. In a million years you couldn't have anticipated that something like that should happen. Right? You never hear of the person that dies by the crushed piano. I don't think. You play piano. Have you ever heard of such a thing? No. Right. There you have it. Shlomo Yosef confirms. Right? Freak accident. It's clear Yad Hashem. Right? The first level of shogeg. And there that's like Mama showing this. You might not even have to go for a Nir Miklat for that. The first thing we spoke about was a type of culpability that perhaps maybe you did something. You could have. That's what the Gemara says. You should have scrutinized a little bit better. You should have been a little bit more careful. Maybe be a little bit more careful. And that former one that I would like to focus on this, I should have been more careful. Right? It's a little bit harder to focus because that's talking about us. The second thing, a freak accident, that's Yad Hashem. It has nothing to do with me. It's much easier as far as to talk about Hashem than to focus on ourselves. But let's focus on ourselves for a little bit. And let's talk about this type of culpability when you're horik b'shogeg. When there's a little bit of there's a reyach, there's a scent, there's a hint of culpability. There's a hint of pshia. Ibai leili yune. You should have been me'ayin. You should have been scrutinizing over your actions a little bit better. Weinberger quoted a Rosh Hashiva. He didn't say which Rosh Hashiva. That wrote the following few lines regarding this notion of Nir Miklat. I'll read it in Hebrew, but I will translate as I go along. Harigas nefesh bishgaga michoser zehirut maspeket. Harigas nefesh bishgaga. If you accidentally kill, michoser zehirut maspeket. There was a lacking choser zehirut maspeket of scrutiny. There was a lacking of your level of being careful. Hupri, that is the result of. Choser hakara beorkam shel chai. That is a result in a person's lack of understanding of the value of life, the meaning of life, the nitzchius of life. Choser havchana betachlit hanitzchit hanovad mikol netev shel chai. You lack an understanding, an ability to discern the preciousness of. Kol netef, every little drop of life is so precious, and you just don't recognize it. If you really recognized it, you would have scrutinized much, much more. Mi shechai b'hakara metushteshet b'mahutam shel chai. If you live with an unclear vision, metushtash means unclear, in the nature of life, mu'ad lishgaga shemekoram b'hazada. You're guaranteed to make to cause some sort of accident, which is almost mazed. It's not even an accident. It's, for example, if I were to say, Akiva, listen, here in my pocket I have a $10 million diamond. I want you to watch it for me. Right. You can bet that when Akiva takes that diamond and walks with it in the street, he would have his hand on his pocket the whole time, making sure that it's not falling out of the, you know, sometimes the bottom of your of the pockets inside are ripped or whatever. Even though normally when you walk in the street, correct me if I'm wrong, you're not constantly reaching into your pocket to make sure. Why is it that suddenly you're reaching into your pocket every minute, or not even reaching in, you're just keeping your hand there? Because in your pocket is something that's tremendously valuable to you, and you want to ensure that nothing bad will happen to it. You're guarding it because it is so precious to you. You're being extra careful. I never told you have to put your hand there, you know. I just told you. But what? Because you know how much it's worth. Because you know it's $10 million, and $10 million is a lot. So you're guarding. You're being very careful about it. And the minute you get home, you're going to put it in the safe. Assuming you have a safe in your house, I don't know. If you don't, you're going to go out and buy one. Or you'll put it in the safe deposit box in the bank. It's $10 million. It's a lot of money. It's very precious. You'll go out of your way to scrutinize. Same thing, a person of infinite value, a life is infinitely valuable. So we should, says the Rosh Hashiva, we should go out of our way to scrutinize over every single one of our acts to make sure that nothing chas v'shalom will happen, that we will cause the death, even in an indirect way. Chas v'shalom, we should be careful and double careful. When we're driving, as an aside, it's pashut, it's sakana, it's murder. Book for yourself and for passengers in your car and for other passengers for you to speed. If the speed limit is 65, I think you can fluctuate 68, maybe 71. But to drive more than that, it just means that you don't have a full understanding of how precious life is. Drink and drive? And it was an accident. I didn't mean to. Had I known that what I said would cause you such pain, for the past week you'd be harboring such resentment and such sadness in your heart, I never would have said it. It was a mistake. You ever find yourself saying that? I sure as heck do. All the time. It was a mistake. I didn't mean... But you know, had you known, right, you wouldn't have done it. You should have looked into it. It's precious. I never would have... Well, you heard that all the time. I would have never driven drunk had I known. You don't hear that here because we don't drink and we don't drive. But I'm saying in the Welt, in the news, you see a guy, drunk driver, oh, I know that this would happen. I'm so sorry for what I did. It was a mistake. I didn't mean to. So you didn't appreciate life. That's all it means. You had no appreciation of what life is. I didn't mean to. Oh. Yeah. What's the proof for this? That you had no appreciation. Right. There's an oddity regarding the Ari Miklat. Ari Miklat, how many Ari Miklat are there?
Six.
So there's six classic Ari Miklat, but there's more cities of Levi. Six. There's three on the Israel proper side, and there is three on Eber Ayarden. Now if you don't have to be a mathematician to figure this out, but how many Shvatim lived on the other side of the Yarden? That means 9.5 lived on the right? So proportion wise, there should have been 3 and 3. There should have been 5 and 1, maybe, whatever it may be. Certainly not 3 and 3. Right? That's the part you don't have to be a mathematician for to know. It should not be 3 and 3. So Gemara asks, why were there 3 and 3? Know what the Gemara answers? The Gemara answers that in Gilad, which is on the eastern side of the Jordan River, in Gilad, there's a lot of murderers. So the Maharal asks, and this is a question that's not just the Maharal and the Perishim Chumash and the Midbar. The Maharal asks, wait a minute, What does he ask? No, you tell me. In Gilead, there's a lot of murderers. Right. So what if there's a lot of murderers? Who goes to Neir Mikla? Accidental murderers. A murderer gets killed. So who cares if there's a lot of murderers in Neir Mikla, asks the Maharal. Right. This is the Maharal in Lamed Hei. Perek Lamed Hei, Pasuk Yidalet in B'midbar. So what does the Maharal answer? The Maharal answers the following. You can bet, you can stake your mortgage, bet your bottom dollar, that in a place where there's a lot of intentional murder, there's going to be a lot of unintentional murder as well. Why? Because it's a place where they don't value life. If you're going to be living in a place where they, right? And you see it all the time. Haraya, they cleaned up New York. But growing up, when I was growing up, there were one of the bad neighborhoods of New York City was Harlem. Nowadays, it's safe now. New York is a relatively safe place. I'm not telling you to move into Harlem. I'm telling you to move into Eretz Yisrael Levada. But I remember oftentimes, right, in Harlem, it was daily. There were murders in Harlem and in other parts of, in certain parts of Brooklyn also. Who knows where. But it wasn't just intentional murders. Essentially, what would happen would be also people would get caught in a crossfire. Oh, I didn't mean to kill him. I meant to kill John, and instead I killed Bob and who else? Bob and
Mary.
Thank you. Why? Because if you're willing to go ahead and kill, the atmosphere that pervades that permeates the air is one where we don't care about life. So that's what happens. In the place where there's an intentional murder, there's going to be unintentional murder as well. And it means there's no value for life. That's, by the way, a lot of people argue against the death penalty for that reason. They say that if you're going to start killing people, even by law, it's going to have a distribution. It means that you value life less, and then other people are going to, well, if the government can kill, why can't I kill? So that's the proof, says the Maharal, that accidental murders happen as a lack of appreciation of life. Because if in Gilad there is, if in Ever HaYarden on the eastern side of the river there's 3 Ari Miklat, the only explanation for that, and the reason why is because there's murderers, so what does that have to do with anything? Because there was murderers, there's a disregard for life, and if there's a disregard for life, you can stake the mortgage, you can bet your bottom dollar that you're going to need a Neir Mikla. Accidental murders happen as a result of disregard for life. Very good, Sean. That's the background. Now, it's going to start to get a little bit more implications for our life. So what does the Neir Mikla do? How does it solve this? What happens when I rent a Neir Mikla? So the most narrow explanation of a Neir Miklat would be that which we're raised to believe, that what does a Neir Miklat do for you? Very good, it protects you from the Gaol Adam. If you accidentally kill Reuven, Shimon, his brother, is going to want to kill you now, or Yaakov, his father, is going to want to kill you now. You don't want to be killed, so what do? You go to a Neir Miklat. It's like when you play tag, it's the base, it's the home base. You're untouchable, you're in a Neir Miklat. I'm safe. That's very narrow. Very narrow-minded, very confined explanation. It's a lot deeper than that. Let's see just how deep it gets. Okay, hold off your... Till the end. Now, you are all aware, I am sure, that the land of Eretz Yisrael was given out to the Shvatim. However, there is a notable exception of the division of land in Eretz Yisrael to the Shvatim. And what's that notable exception? Levim. Levim do not get a Nachala. They don't get a place in Eretz Yisrael. You guys know why?
Is that a conversion of land? And that's part of the punishment?
No, it's not a punishment according to the way I want to go. What? They belong to Hashem. So what exactly does that mean? So there's a person that deals with this. This is perhaps, believe it or not, and you're not going to believe it because you have probably have not seen the Rambam yet. But this is an off-quoted Rambam and relatively famous. When I say relatively famous, I mean of the people that learn Rambam, 80% of them will know this Rambam. It's the last two halachas in Hilchos Shemitah VeYovel, in the laws of Shemitah. The Rambam asks, and the reason why it's famous is because it's not often that the Rambam leaves his formula of strict halacha and begins to vex poetic on Ahavas Hashem and Yiras Hashem. And this is one of those nature where he steps out of the box for a little bit, and he does. V'lama lo zacha Levi benachalas Eretz Yisrael uvevizasa imeichav. Why did Shevet Levi not get a nachla? Why did they not have a portion? Mipnei shehuvdal la'avodes Hashem u'lasharto. Shevet Levi was designated to do what? To serve Hashem. U'lohorot drachav ha'yesharim, to show and illustrate his drachim, his with a capital H, Hashem's straight ways. Mishpatav ha'tzadikim la'rabim, and his justice. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, Yoru mishpatecha le'Yaakov, v'sorascha le'Yisrael. As the pasuk says, regarding Shevet Levi, that they will instruct the mishpatim to Yaakov and the Torah to Israel. And lefichach, therefore, huvdalu midachei olam. That's why they are divorced from the ways of the world. They cannot be bothered, they cannot be preoccupied with, gotta go out and do my farming, gotta go out and earn a living. No time for that. You need a few people, right, at the top, the teachers, that are not preoccupied, that are not deterred, that are uninvolved in anything but straight up Avodas Hashem. Therefore, lo ochin melchama kishar Israel, they don't go to war. Lo nochlin velo zochin latzman b'koach gufan. Elahem chel Hashem, they're the army of Hashem. And now listen to this next halacha. Velo shevet Levi bilvan, ela kol ish ve'ish mikol baheya olam. Not only shevet Levi, but any individual asher nadvaru choso, who is stirred by his ruach, vehivinu mideo liibadel laamod lifnei Hashem, who becomes, he gets turned on to the realization that there is a bore olam and he wants to serve him fully. Lesharto uleavdo ledeas Hashem. Uporek mehal tzavaru ola cheshbonos, and you say, you know what, I'm not going to be preoccupied with the rat race. Forget about that. Harezen iskadesh kodesh kodoshim v'yeh Hashem chelko. He becomes a kodesh kodoshim and Hashem becomes his nachla, becomes his portion. Okay. Goes on. The Levi is the Oved Hashem par excellence. What happens is, right, the Nir Miklat is not just to protect you. In Nir Miklat, you go to Nir Miklat, and what happens? It's a place where you can repair. You can fix it. It's not just, you can repair, you can mend, refurbish yourself. Right? You were a person who lacked a real appreciation of what life is. So you know what you're going to do? You're going to go to a place that's saturated with Torah. Torah is Chaim. It's Chaim Yilam HaChazikim. But you're going to go to a place where the stones reverberate, the Levim, every footstep, every echo, it's Torah. You're going to immerse yourself totally. Your entire body, your entire existence will be an immersion in Torah. And an immersion in Torah will just make you realize just how precious and valuable every second of life. They say a story about the Gra. Before he was Nifter, Gdolim know when they were about to leave the world. So before he was about to leave the world, he started to cry. So they asked him, Rebbe, what are you crying about? You slept 2.5 hours a night, and the rest of the time, hadn't slept, I think, all but 2.5 hours a day, he had managed to work on himself. Between eating, sleeping, and eating, that took 2.5 hours. The rest of his day, 21.5 hours, he was engaged in Torah. What are you worried about? You can account for every single second of your day. You're entirely. What are you crying for? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to greet you with open arms. You know what he said? He said, how can I not cry? You know what happens in this world? I put on tzitzis. That small action, it's a piece of cake. You just put on tzitzis and you get olam haba forever and ever. Put on tefillin, I learn a word of Torah. I'm not on this. I say one word of Torah, each word of Torah. It's a mitzvah. Olam haba. An infinite amount of olam haba. Right? Sometimes you go to a great sale, right? Women particularly, but I think men also. You go to a great sale. It's not even the product itself. It's just the sheer joy of buying because you know you're getting such a good price, such a good deal. Oh my gosh, I'm getting this pair of shoes for only $7.99. That's unbelievable. They originally cost $70, 90% off. That's amazing. It's so exciting. And the girl was like, "This, I'm getting infinite amount of olam haba, infinite." We have no comprehension of what infinite is. Infinite, says Rav Dessler, is imagine Mount Everest. And imagine a bird coming and taking a pebble from Mount Everest and removing it. And doing that, one pebble, once every 10 years. The amount of time it would take the bird to clear Mount Everest by removing one pebble every 10 years does not yet equal infinity. Just try to put it into perspective. By putting on tzitzis, right, those things that we all have hanging from our shirts, by putting on tefillin, by learning a word of Torah, infinite olam haba. How could I not be crying? He knew what life is. He understood the preciousness of life. He understood. So you have a rotzeach who doesn't appreciate life. You expose him to a levi, a person that fully appreciates what life is, a life saturated with Torah. Gives you a deep understanding of life, Torah. As we have nowadays, in our society, we have no appreciation of life. I took the driving test when I moved there to Israel. So you have to, when I moved to Israel, you have to transfer your American license to an Israeli license. So you go, you have to take a lesson. And then after you take a lesson, the guy makes an appointment for you in the with DMV, the Israel DMV, Department of Motor Vehicle, and you take a test. But they don't tell you right away. In America, they tell you right away if you pass or fail. That's what it was. Over here, they don't tell you right away. You get a phone call later in the day, or you have to call later in the day. So I asked the guy, I was like, why do you have to call later in the day? So well, a few years ago, there was a guy that told he failed. He pulled out a gun and he shot the instructor. There's no value of life. We'll kill for nothing. Right? We'll kill ourselves. That's just a cigarette. Right? Show you a picture, but I can't help it. But it's, you know, I didn't know that it's really going to. But I didn't really appreciate how much. It means you don't appreciate life. You have to take care of yourself. You have to. I'm not trying to plug Tuesday night at the gym. I'm just. You have to take care of yourself. Then. On the physical and the spiritual level. Right, again, in the Neir Miklat, you're immersed in the city. Not distracted by the mundane. There's no way. Oftentimes we forget the value of life because we get so caught up in the rat race and this and that. Who has time for Torah and who has time for mitzvahs because we gotta make the buck, make the constantly chasing our tails. Clutter. Gilgan Eir Miklat, where there's no clutter, it's cool of Torah. That's what the Eir Miklat does. That also helps to understand the halacha. When you go to Neir Miklat, you know who has to go with you?
Rabbi.
Your Rebbe has to go with you. The Torah says, how do you know that your Rebbe has to go with you? Bachai, not Bachai. And you should live. What does Chai mean? Torah. You have to have access. Because if your Rebbe, if you have a relationship with your Rebbe, and he's the one that you're accustomed to learning, so it won't be the... So your Rebbe goes with you. What does that have to do with Elul? We didn't kill anyone. I don't think anyone in this room has ever murdered anyone. Not purposely, certainly. I don't even think by accident. Correct me if I'm wrong. Please see me privately after Shir, so do not embarrass yourself now. But I'm fairly confident that nobody here did. So we said Elul is in the Mikla. What does that mean, Elul is in the Mikla? I didn't kill anyone. Frightening statement of Chazal. Chazal say, Gadol ha-machtio yoter me-ha-horga. It is worse to be machti, to cause somebody to sin, yoter me-ha-horga, more, that is worse than to kill a person. Why? You kill a person, you end the person's life prematurely. So he was going to live at Ma'ev Asim Shana, and now instead he's going to live 50 Shana. Tragedy? Absolutely. Devastating? Yeah, I don't mean to minimize it. But he had a set amount of time. Anyway, he was going to that. But if you're machti a person, say Chazal, you know what you've taken away from him? You've taken away nitzchias. You've taken away infinite, the gra that we spoke about. You caused them to, hey, buddy, let's forget about the learning. Let's go and hang out. Let's go and hang out at a non-kosher restaurant. Forget about it. You know. What are you doing? You're taking what was potentially a moment of kedusha. A person was going to learn Torah. Not only is he not learning Torah now, but he's in it. It's bad enough you took him away from the Bishmanish, but you also then caused him to go to the opposite. You've murdered him. You've committed spiritual homicide. And how does that come about? I didn't mean to. I just thought we'd go and have a good... Forget about a non-kosher or something. We're going to Mahajan. We're going to Alot Teman. We're going to Hashamein. We're going to Grill Burger. We're going to Pizza Land. We're going to all of those establishments. Going to learn. We're just having a good time. I didn't know. There's no harm in it. I was just having a good time. We just wanted to hang out, get a little break. I didn't know that there was anything wrong with that. But you know what the answer is when you say, I didn't know there's anything wrong with that. You should have scrutinized. You should have... I didn't know there's possibly anything wrong with just going and hanging out with your friends and having a burger. It was a mistake. It means you didn't appreciate fully just how precious Talmud Torah is. Just how precious a mitzvah is. What could have been done at that time. Right? And sometimes we don't do it to our friends. Sometimes we do it to ourselves. Forget about me pulling out somebody else. I didn't tell anyone. I didn't tell anyone, you know what, I could learn, you know what, let me just go grab myself alone, me, myself, and I, let me go to Grill Burger. You know what I've just done? I'm not trying to take away business from Grill Burger, and I'm not trying to tell you not to eat. Eat, and you can go to Grill Burger, but I'm talking about the timing of it all. It's 8 o'clock, I'm just going to come 20 minutes later of Shammai, 20 minutes later of Mo, I'm just going to grab a quick bite. You know what that is? That is spiritual suicide. There's no other word for it. It means that you don't really appreciate. It was an accident. I didn't know it. But yeah, it was an accident. It's karv l'mezid. It's negligent. You should have known better. You should have known. You should have anticipated. Be more careful. Right. It's going to happen after Ma'ev Asim Shana. You're going to get up to Shemaim and the Kodesh Baruch Hu says, I noticed over here that you racked up a bill of Grill Burger. Yeah, I thought it was okay. It was okay. Did you ask anyone? Did you ask your Rebbe? Did you ask Rav Mo before you left? Did you ask Rav Shammai before you left? Did you check what their problem was? Is it a good idea, do you think, for me to miss the first 20 minutes of Night Seder? And did you run that by anyone? Did you think it would be pleasing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu if you did that? Did you take the time to ask yourself those questions? If not, you were negligent. Ibai Leili Yune. Did you ask yourself, what does Hashem want? Ibai Leili Yune. Comes along Elul, and what an Ir Miklat is in physical space, Elul is in time. Elul is a time where we immerse ourselves. It's the opportunity now between Elul and Bechlal and Tishrei, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, Hoshana Rabbah, this period of Yomim Noram, it's an opportunity to immerse ourselves totally in the Avodas Hashem. It's like Levim to the 10th degree, right? It's an opportunity to immerse ourselves totally in, like, the same way the accidental murderer, the Horek B'Shkaga, goes to a Nir Miklat and he's totally immersed in that ear. We have now the opportunity to immerse ourselves in these holidays and in this time period and to readjust our sights to see what is important, what is not. Get rid of the clutter and be me'ayin in what is and what is not proper. Immerse ourselves in Elul. But it only works if it's a total immersion. If it's a total immersion, and near Miklat, you're totally in it. Same thing with Elul. If you say, yeah, you know, I'll do a little bit, it won't work. You need to immerse yourself totally, without restriction, entirely, and try to capture the essence of life, the nitzchius in life, what you can accomplish with literally every second of life. You guys know the story, I'm sure you'll hear it 101 times over the next few months, over the next few weeks. But you all know it. Rav Elazar ben Dudai, the guy that was a total choyte. You'll pardon me, I'm so, this is on tape. He went to every single prostitute in the country. And he was boel one after the other until he heard about this one harlot, and she was supposed to be the best parlor you go. And he went there, and while he was there, he had passed gas, and she says, oh, just like that's fleeting, your life is fleeting, you are nothing. And he was hit so hard by that, she says, you're going to pass from this world with that. He was hit so hard by that, I can't believe a prostitute is calling me and telling me. He's like, forget, I got to do tshuva. And he goes, and he cries himself to death. Cries till he cries himself to death. He was so sorry for what he did, and as he dies, what happens? The Basco comes out and says, Rav Elazar ben Dudai is invited to Olam Haba. And the Rebbe, when he hears that story, cries. And he says, oh my gosh, you can be Kona Olam with 1 minute. Shachas, one action, 1 minute can be Kona and Olam. One action can be Kona and Olam. And he's off. That's the question. Why is Rebbe crying? Is Rebbe crying because, oh man, what a wasted life. I, my whole life, have been from. And instead, really, I could have been partying my whole life and just done tshuva at the very end and be koned and all. Is that why he's crying? That's not why he's crying. Rebbe's crying because he saw the preciousness of every second. He says, if this is what he was able to accomplish in every second, in 1 minute, in one act, how many squandered opportunities do we have? Every minute is so precious, and we tell ourselves, yeah, once in a while, we're like, oh, this, I got, it's not just on right now. Every right now, not just like this, those special moments, it's not just, every single moment in life is precious. Every single moment of life is an opportunity. Every single one, an opportunity to be an Ovid Hashem. We have to capitalize on that opportunity. Okay, well, should we end with one story or? Okay. Yeah. We'll end with this. Rav Moshe Feinstein had a yeshiva on the Lower East Side of New York. It's still there. And in the yeshiva, he had a boy. The boy came from a family that not have much of a background, but they send the boy to Tiferes Yerushalayim, which was the name of the yeshiva, because they like the midas of the boys there. It was nice. But obviously, as anticipated, the boy became much more enamored with the Torah lifestyle. And as he became more enamored with the Torah lifestyle, it obviously attracted his family as well. They saw genuine Judaism and they were in love with it. And they began to practice it as well. And at a certain point, the boy's father, who was entirely uneducated, wanted to mimic his son's effort and begin to learn himself, just like his son was learning. The problem was that the father had zero... He didn't even speak the language. He could barely read a word. Nothing. So he taught himself. He taught himself how to read. He sat there with the dictionary. And after painstaking hard work, he finally starts to open up a Gemara. And he's working with a dictionary and with a Jastro, with the Hebrew dictionary and the Aramaic dictionary. And he's Mei Masai, Korin, Shema Barbin, word by word. And it takes him 1 year. And after 1 year, he finishes first plot. One daf of Gemara. And he tells his son, I finished the first plot. I want to make a scene. I remember a few weeks ago, a few months ago, you made a siyum. What do you call it? A siyum? Yeah, a siyum you made. I want to do that. He looks at his father with disbelief. He says, you know, Papa, you don't understand. A siyum, finish, you make when you finish the whole masechet, the whole tractate, the whole volume. That's what I celebrated. You just finish one page, one daf. I don't care if it's a daf. I worked hard. I worked on this daf for a year. Go ask your Rebbe. Go ask Moshe Feinstein. Go ask him. Keep with Avem, what's he going to do? So he goes, ask him. He says, Moshe, listen, you understand. I feel so silly for even asking. But my father's been learning a daf now for a year. It's one daf and he wants to make a scene. So Moshe says, what did he say? Yeah, I know, it sounds ridiculous. He says, no, what did he say? He's been learning it for a year and he finished the daf now? Of course he can make a scene. What an accomplishment. And I'm coming, says Moshe Feinstein. And unfortunately, a week later, the father dies. And Moshe Feinstein comes to the funeral. And he says, he quotes that Gemara that I just quoted to you. He says, Yeshkone olamo b'sha'a achas. There are those people that in a moment can be kone, and olam abe, eternity. And then he says, v'yesh, and there are those kone olamo that get eternity, b'daf echad. One daf Gemara. Nitzchius, eternity, olam. How many lines did Rav Moshe tonight? A Mishnah? Five. Mishnah plus. How many Rav Shammai? The answer is it's irrelevant. The answer is they both did Nitzchius. Eternity is what they did. You can't measure, you can't quantify that seven lines. Who cares? That was Nitzchius you guys got tonight. You have to appreciate that. Recognize what you're holding in your hands. Nitzchius, Torah life. Elul, ina leyado v'samti lecha. Elul in the Parsha of Yermikla teaches us that this is the time where we're supposed to immerse ourselves entirely, saturate ourselves with Torah, get rid of the clutter that distracts us so that we can appreciate every moment of life. Come to a recognition of just how in each moment we have the ability to gain for ourselves and for our families. Ol me olamos olam abba. May we all be zoche. Laila tov.